T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to the second big hour of the Weekend Report. Co-hosting with me today is my lovely wife, Becky Arps. Say hello, Becky.
Hello.
And as I said last hour, my regular co-host, Tony Colombo, is joining us from a remote location. Tony, are you with us?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm here.
You know, we were teasing you earlier in the show. I was like, Tony's the second hardest man in radio behind, who's the first? I forgot who I said the first. But anyway, we were talking about how serious you were that you texted me and Brian and told us that you had bought a booster and you were going to be calling us from on top of a hill. So let's see how good you sound.
Yeah, how good? Can you hear me at all? Because getting a phone call out of this place is not an easy thing to do.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, you're sounding real good, coming in real good. Now, where are you, or can you tell us where you're at?
Sure, I can tell you where I'm at. Okay, so this is a long-standing family trip. We are in southern Missouri in a little place that is owned by the Missouri State Teachers Association. My grandparents were both educators their entire lives, so they started coming down here when my aunts and uncles and my mom were young, and they came here their whole lives, and then I came here my whole childhood, and now I'm bringing my kids here as well. We're on something called the Jack's Fork River, and we are in the middle of nowhere, and I mean middle of nowhere, like no internet signal, no television, no radio signal gets all the way down into the valley by the river. It's very pioneer days.
Wow, what can you do for fun without any internet or phone?
Exactly.
That just sounds wonderful.
Well, you got to spend a lot of time by the river. So there's like canoeing and kayaking and fishing and swimming and
I got a stupid question. Have you been fishing, Tony, on your vacation?
Oh, yeah, you know that. I have been fishing. So that is definitely how I've been keeping my time.
Yeah, have you caught anything you want to take home, or are you just catching and releasing?
Well, we catch and release, but I have caught a few nice ones.
Okay.
Smallmouth bass is kind of the thing down here, so, yeah.
And how does that work? You catch the fish and you hand them off to your wife to clean and for dinner, or how does that work?
I catch the fish, and if it's big enough, I take a picture of it, and then I throw it back. That's how it works.
Oh, okay.
So dinner's not dependent on you?
If it's not big enough, it doesn't even get its picture taken.
So dinner's not dependent on you?
No, dinner is not dependent on me. But it's funny because, so you have a cabin. The cabins have electricity, and they have a bathroom and all that, but they don't have, like, a kitchen. There's no refrigerator. There's no oven, microwave. So you bring what you can, and coolers and snacks and things like that. And then there's like a cafeteria thing, and they ring the bell 3 times a day at 7:30, 12:30, and 5:30. And you go and eat when they ring the bell, and if you miss it, you miss it, and you're screwed.
Then you got to go out in the woods and start foraging.
Yeah, exactly. Or hope that you brought enough in your cooler or whatever to get through the rest of the day or night.
That makes it sound even better. I mean, first of all, you're completely unplugged. Second of all, you don't have to worry about cooking and dishes. Babe, when are we going down there?
I could do that. Seriously, it sounds wonderful to unplug and no internet, no radio and all that. But in all truthfulness, I could do that for about 3 hours and I'd be going stir crazy wanting internet.
Come on, we go on a hike.
3 hours.
You go kayaking.
3 hours.
Yes.
Three hours.
So I can do it for 3 days, and then that's when I've met my limit. But it is amazing to be down here, where it's so quiet, it's so peaceful, There's no, you don't, there's not even a reason to walk around with your phone in your pocket because you don't have a signal anyway, so it doesn't do you any good. And it's just like, it really is an awesome break from what we're so used to in everyday life. I do go nuts after 2 or 3 days, but for those 2 or 3 days, it's pretty cool.
So how did you celebrate the Blues victory? Well, no, that was here. That was earlier in the week. Were you out all? We weren't all week, were you?
We left the we left the next morning.
Oh, okay.
We watched the Blues win, and then we left Thursday. We left Thursday morning.
That was smart because you knew you weren't going to have any reception, and you might not even know if the Blues won or not.
Yeah,
that would have drove you crazy.
Yeah, that would have been tough.
Well, Tony, as the originator of the Weekend Report, you know how this works. We got a thing we call here the Weekend Review. And I'm going to throw out a topic here for you and Becky, and I want to get your thoughts on it, sir, if you don't mind.
Sounds great.
All right, Tony, as you know, the Supreme Court this week decided not to hear the case of two men who were prosecuted and convicted for not registering a silencer or a suppressor. The president has signaled he would consider banning suppressors with an executive order like he did with bump stocks. Does this action by the SCOTUS this week give the president more incentive to do this? What do you think, Tony?
I don't know if it gives him any more incentive. I didn't care about bump stocks. The only care I had about bump stocks was maybe what we're seeing now was the creation of the slippery slope argument.
Right.
I don't think bump stocks were really a thing that very many gun collectors cared about or used or collected or anything like that. But silencers are a more legitimate, suppressor, silencer, same thing. Two words that mean the same thing. Because some people get confused.
Right.
You know, like they don't know that a suppressor is a silencer. It's the exact same thing.
These are Democrats?
Exactly.
Okay.
That is more of a legitimate firearm accessory. And so, you know, that, so if you, it, as you know, getting a silencer is much along the same lines as banning a high capacity magazine or, you know, a certain type of scope or something like that. And now we're really starting to get into legitimate firearm accessories. And I think things that further create that slippery slope, where, you know, you just sort of chip away and keep chipping away and keep taking people's rights away from them or ability to, you know, have the gun that they, the legal gun that they want. And so I am not in agreement with the president on this at all. I'm not sure if the Supreme Court decision will influence the president at all, but I wish he would reconsider this one because it sounds to me like he's sort of lumping it in with bump stocks, and it's a completely different situation.
I would agree because I'm looking at, if you look at the reason for having a gun, they come, you know, the Second Amendment is protecting for your defense. There's hunting, there's just the simple joy of collecting. And so from a simple joy of collecting, yeah, I can see a purpose in it. Hunting, the purpose is a little bit more flexible, but in self-protection, I can totally see a reason for having it. I mean, I was a little bit open on that a couple weeks ago, but after we had this conversation with the Tim Jones Show and talking with Nick Schroer, it makes sense because I'm thinking to myself, okay, I am, and there have been times that I have been home alone, either Chris isn't there or before we got involved, that I'm sitting there as a female in my house, I'm thinking, okay, how do I make sure I'm safe? In the middle of the night, I hear something, what am I doing? And if I see somebody and they're at risk to me and I shoot them, I want to be able to hear what's going on afterward.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Let me throw this out here. What I think what's missing in this debate, I think it's being focused on the wrong thing. I don't think this case was necessarily a case about the legality of suppressors or silencers. My understanding of the case is when you buy a silencer or you sell a silencer, it must be registered. And that's why this gentleman and the seller were arrested, is because the silencer wasn't registered. It's not so much a case of something of trying to get rid of it or ban it. That, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, well, okay. Well, then and that's a different story. If you're not following the law,
yeah.
If you're not following the rules, and the rules on suppressors are a lot more stringent than even buying a firearm. It takes months to get a suppressor registered. So, you know, I have the show Second Amendment Radio, which
Plug
is
it.
On at 3 o'clock on Saturdays, just before this fine program
yes.
here. And my co-host on that show is Aaron Tarlow. He's the owner of Southern Armory, and they sell suppressors. And obviously, they also sell guns. And, you know, you could pass a background check for your gun pretty immediately. And maybe some weird situation where something gets flagged, maybe it takes a couple of days, but the vast majority of the time, you if you're going to pass your background check, it happens immediately. It happens within a matter of minutes. A suppressor takes a matter of months before you're licensed and before you can get it. So there's already a pretty strict protocol process in place before you can legally have a suppressor, and I think that's plenty. I think that they're already scrutinized more than most accessories or guns, and I think that is where the law should be, and I think that's the right way to go. Somebody's selling them or obtaining them illegally, totally different story, and they should pay the price for it.
I'm just not sure if I just buy the argument for suppressors or silencers is that it saves your hearing or keeps your hearing from being damaged. It just seems like to me, if you are that concerned about that, you can wear ear protection. Besides that, it seems like the only reason that you would want a silencer is if you wanted to shoot a gun and do something illegal and not have people know about it.
You can't put on headphones when somebody's breaking into your house at mm-hmm. night. And you certainly can't go and put headphones on your sleeping family members.
But Tony, what's your first concern? My first concern, if someone is invading my home and I'm fearful of my safety, my first concern is eliminating that threat and putting them down.
Agreed.
Losing my hearing or my child's hearing being damaged by that, that's just secondary to me.
So well, is there one person or
go ahead,
two?
Go ahead, Becky. Go ahead.
Is there one person or two?
What do
you're,
you mean?
You're walking in and you find somebody and you shoot them.
I'm not worried about my hearing.
But is there one person or two?
I'm not
if there's,
your
if
argument.
There's one person and you shoot them, you're golden. Okay, I'm safe. My family's safe. How do you know there's not two?
But we're talking about your ear protection.
Right.
It's like,
how are you going to determine if there's two people? You can hope that you can see them, but if you can't see them, you got to depend on being able to hear them.
Yeah, but a suppressor, I think that we imagine it like we do in James Bond, where it's like
yeah.
just
I know
a little,
it's not pew. It's not poo, but it's...
Apparently it really doesn't reduce it that much. Like you can still...
About 25, it reduces it by about 25%, which is significant, but certainly like, you know, like Becky just said, it's not pew. It's not like the sound that you make in the movies. But it does help protect your hearing. It does make, and you know, if you're hunting and you have one on and there is another hunter that is 500 yards away, maybe now when you fire your weapon, you're not scaring off his deer or his game that he's hunting, and otherwise you would if you did have it on. There's plenty of practical purposes for suppressors, and again, they're already so stringently monitored that I think the law does a good job of knowing who has them and where they are. And just like anything else, if you're not doing it legally, then you should pay the penalty for it.
You know, I have a feeling we're not going to solve this debate today, Tony. So let's go to jump to another issue. We got about 3 minutes, 2 minutes.
Hey.
And I want to go to this recent ruling here in St. Louis. You know, a St. Louis judge ruled this week that it was illegal to hold people in jail who couldn't afford their bail. And so the judge ordered new bail hearings for 700 inmates with a one-week deadline. Tony, is this true criminal justice reform, or is this a potential public safety issue?
You know, I was a big supporter of the criminal justice bill that the president was working on, and I think that we've made some necessary strides in that area. I don't know that I can agree with this one. I'd have to look at some situations that are sort of case by case. Are we looking at judges that are setting bail at some crazy number for a criminal that has committed some nonviolent crime or something like that? Like, are the bail amounts matching the crime? If they are, then I don't see how you can just decide to take that away, because that is a way to make sure that people show up for their court date, to hold them accountable to going through the justice system that they are supposed to go through for whatever crime they committed. Are there examples of judges setting you know ludicrous bail numbers on crimes that maybe that doesn't match up with? Sure, and maybe we can address that, but by just eliminating the idea of you can't enforce bail at all, that makes no sense to me.
I hear you. Tony, we got to wrap up this segment. Can you stay with us, hold over and hang with us with Skip?
Hey, I drove to the top of the hill, so I'm here already. I may as well stick around.
That's my co-host and partner, Tony Colombo, in the middle of nowhere. That's his words, not mine. Becky Arps is still with me. You're Brian McKenna, executive producer, interim executive producer, because we know he won't be here that much longer. You're listening to The Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
I will never forsake.
And welcome back to the Weekend Report. We got a full house with us on the phone and in the studio. With me is executive producer Brian McKenna. We've got my lovely wife, Becky Arps. And joining us as usual every week is Skip Weber. How are you, Skip?
Your lovely friend.
Your lovely friend, exactly. Before we get into a very, very important topic that's coming up next, my wife wanted to finish her point on the... and we've got Tony Colombo on the phone. Sorry, Tony.
That's all right.
Okay.
I'm here.
And before we get into a very, very important topic, Becky, you wanted to finish up on this bail issue?
Yeah. The purpose of bail, as I understand it, is to make sure that people will come back. So they've been charged. They need to come back. Here's what we do. But the intent was, and even the Missouri statutes say, it should be set based on the crime and the accused resources. So if the judges are not assessing each case based on the crime and the accused resources, then yes, there's a problem. On the flip side, letting them all out, bad idea. Trying to adjudicate them all within 1 week, also unrealistic. So I think what the judge was trying to do was say, look, this is really serious. You need to act on it now. Realizing that it was a physical impossibility to do that all within the next week. So if they put a realistic effort in trying to get as much of this accomplished in the next week, there will probably be an extension.
You know, as the host here, I'm going to use a little host privilege, and I'm going to give my point on the bail thing, and then we'll go on to the next very important issue. Case in point is the, and I agree with you, Becky, the case in point is the case of about a few weeks ago where the St. Louis Bail Project paid the bail of a man who was accused of beating his wife, and then he promptly, once he got out of jail, he murdered her. And the St. Louis Bail Project was so tone deaf on this issue that they still weren't taking any responsibility on it and was still blaming the bail system for him even being in that situation. So, I think this is social experimentation going amok. I believe in criminal justice reform, but I think just letting people out because they can't pay for their bail, I think, is a wrong thing. All right, I'm done with that. Let's go to the very, very, very important topic that we gotta talk about next. Hit it.
10 seconds remaining. Get up, St. Louis. Get on your feet. Raise them high. 5 seconds to go, and the time winds down. They did it. It's over. The game is over. The series is over. The wait is over. and the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions for the first time in franchise history.
I still get goosebumps. I can feel it right now. What about you, Skip?
That's unbelievable. I'll tell you, I was at the Enterprise Center at the watch party.
Yeah.
So I watched that happen with 19,999 of my closest friends.
Wow.
But I did not hear that. We never, when you, those watch parties, you never hear the announcers.
Yeah.
You can't hear it. So I never heard the countdown till late the next day. But nevertheless, that you had 20,000 people chanting 10, 9, 8, and going absolutely crazy, as loud as any game I've ever been at.
You know, I never even thought about that. When you are at a watch party or something like that, you're not hearing the famous historic call.
You're watching it. Yeah, you're exactly. watching on the TV.
Tony, well. What's your thoughts with Gloria playing softly in the background?
I couldn't believe it. I mean, I was just as excited as everybody else. That is actually the first time that I've heard the Chris Kerber radio call. That was
really I'm glad we were able to bring it to you.
Yeah, no, I mean, we left the next morning, you know, so I obviously watched the game. I watched the end and
wait a minute, Tony. Tony, wait a minute. You watched the game. You weren't driving in your truck the whole time.
I had gotten out of the truck.
Oh man, we're lucky we won.
Yeah, look what happened when I got out of the truck. Too, they scored.
And of course, Tony. You know, we take a lot of credit. For the start of the Blues run there, we interviewed Chairman Tom Stillman the weekend before the Blues won on their 11 game run. So we're talking about talking to NHL officials and the Blues officials to try to get our names engraved on the cup. So
I'm going to trump you on that. I hate to say that. I'm going to trump you on that. You talk to the president. I bet on them at that same time in Las Vegas.
That's an
enormous amount more of loyalty and faith.
I hear you.
Talking to the president. So.
But actually, what that translates to me is Skip had so much confidence in you guys interviewing him that he knew there'd be a winner.
That could be. Yeah.
There you go.
There's a little
there
bit of that, too. Yeah.
But,
that's
you know,
exactly right.
You know, Tony, we got a chance to interview, you know, Tom Stillman. And, you know, the Blues were on a bad run and... You know, we were honored to have him on the show, but we're kind of tiptoeing around about, you know, the Blues suck. You know, how does it feel to have a sucky team? What are you going to do to improve it? But he's such a nice and humble guy. It's good for him, for sure, but it's also just good for the city.
Yeah, it's so good for the city. It's the best thing that's ever, it's the best sporting moment that we've ever had. I really, truly believe that. And it is amazing that when we talked to Tom Stillman in whatever it was, January or whatever, I asked him the question if the Blues were ready to be sellers, if they were ready to dismantle this team and start building for next year. And you could tell his answer was not a no. It was a... Well, you know, we're not quite ready to give up on this season yet.
And we were rolling our eyes.
Consider the future, yeah. But then he said, you know, like, we always have to consider the future, and we want to make sure that we do the best for the organization in the long run. So he gave that, you know, he left it open to, like, you know, if this doesn't turn around, like, right now, we're going to kind of throw in the towel on this season. And then all of a sudden they go on that big run, and they get into playoff contention and then get into the playoff. I mean, it's unbelievable to think about where they came from to where they ended up. And, no, I very much believe that this was something that not only is a big moment for the city, but also something that the city really needed. It's something that everybody can get together and rally around and make everybody smile and be proud of something and have some pride in the team and the city. And it's just there's just so many positives that come along with this. It can't list them all.
Yeah. I want to, if I can, interject a little bit of what you might call at the time sunshine pumping into into how bad everybody considered the Blues. The reason why I was very thrilled to be able to, I was in Las Vegas for my anniversary, but the reason why I sought out the bet is because I sat there for the first 3 months of the season and said, this team is not as bad as a lot of people think. And that's for a couple of reasons. Number one, we had moments where we would beat the best teams in hockey.
Right.
We played Winnipeg well. We went undefeated against the Predators this year, and that was including early into the season. I had gone out to Vegas in November for the Blues game, and we dominated the Las Vegas Golden Knights on their ice in November. And then we'd come back and lose to Ottawa or something stupid, some terrible teams. Mm-hmm. And so the whole thing there was inconsistency. Can this team be good enough to win, make the playoffs and go deep? Yeah, it can be, but it's not. So when they changed the coaches, I was really pretty excited to see what a new coach could do, because I always blame inconsistency in any sport on the coaching.
Now, you guys are hockey fans. Tell me this. Usually in basketball or baseball or football, when a team wins a championship, you start having a lot of free agencies, and these guys are like, hey, I'm going now. Everybody wants me. Is this team built
only
for a long time?
It's really easy to keep restricted free agents in hockey. Because hockey doesn't have as big of a free agent market as other sports, so all you have to do is match the free agent offer. So we have a handful of restricted free agents. We only have two unrestricted free agents on the team. That's Gunnarsson and Maroon. So they're unrestricted. So we would have to go to a negotiating table from scratch with them, like anybody else. So I think it's going to be easy to keep this team fairly much together. But the other point I wanted to make about how good they were is, for one reason or another, the Blues' schedule was back end loaded. And we sat there in January having three or four less games played than everybody else. Our schedule, so when we had lower points, we also had three or four less chances to get points. So when we're in last place, did we have the worst winning percentage? Mm-hmm. Not at all. We had a couple teams that if we'd won two or three of those four games, we'd have been ahead of them. But we hadn't played those games yet to win them. So that was the other thing, is they were really falsely pushed to the bottom to some extent. They were never the worst team in hockey by any stretch of the imagination. And if you look at how they could play against some good teams, it just took the new coach, and then when he put Binnington in, and I didn't know about Binnington. That's not a reason for me. Mm-hmm. But when he put Binnington in, it all turned around, and this team started playing like they could.
Well, it seems like there's an age-old hockey question here, and I'm not a hockey fan, but it seems to be there a question of speed or brawn. And in this series, the brawn seems to have won out. What beat the Blues is when they made too many penalties and went in the box and 5-3. Yep. You can't have that against good teams. But when the Blues played a flawless, almost flawless game, I mean, they were unstoppable.
So the Blues this year were the tallest average height player and the heaviest average height player in the NHL. And with that combination, they were a long way from the slowest. So we had plenty of guys, and we showed it. Tarasenko outskated their fastest guys a couple times. Ryan O'Reilly's fast. We have some really good guys who are very fast and big, but we're not known for speed. Our game is physical. But with those tallest and heaviest, we're also one of the youngest teams in the NHL. And that's why we were also a little bit better able to weather the grueling schedule. I'm telling you right now, this series would not have gone seven if they didn't have a bunch of times where there was 2 days off between games.
Right.
If it was one day off like every other series, I think we could have beat this team in five. I really do.
Tony?
I know we're the freaking champions.
Exactly.
That's all that counts, really.
Exactly.
That's all that counts. But, yeah, you know, I kind of look at it like, you know, in the NFL – you know, the prototype now for the offensive lineman is some guy that's 6'5", 6'6", 300 pounds, so they can protect the quarterback and all that. And I just kind of see that ideally in hockey, that if you've got all these big guys up front and your speedy guys can't get past you and they just got to slap the puck in and hope it rebounds in, that's the way to go. But like I said, I don't know anything about hockey.
Well, to Skip's point, hockey, and to some extent every sport, is different in the regular season and in the playoffs. But in hockey, there's a stark difference between the regular season and the playoffs. And if you don't have that if you're not big and physical and able to stand up to the grind, like if you're not, you know, if you're easily hurt or knocked out of a game, that will end your playoff run in a hurry. You can get away with some of those weaknesses in the regular season, especially if you're a very finesse team that scores a bunch of goals. You know, you can have a successful regular season and get to the playoffs and look like you're going to be good, but then not have a great run. But you need a team like the Blues had going into these playoffs to make that long run. I mean, it is the middle of freaking June.
We're playing hockey.
Kids are out of school, and we just finished the hockey.
The last day of the regular season.
Grind.
Last day of the regular season was April 6th.
Yeah.
So no, Tony's absolutely right. Just ask San Jose or Winnipeg. Dallas was a little bit better conditioned than those other two, but we still were way outplayed them in games 5, 6, and 7. But San Jose had nothing left.
Yeah.
Nothing left. It's like going to the Indianapolis 500 with no gas in your tank.
So would you go ahead, Beck?
I was going to say, so do they audition goalies by seeing who wins at Twister? That guy's got to do. I mean, he's amazing. He bent in directions that I'm like, I don't know how you do that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's incredible.
It was. But how much do you think Tom Stillman has done on his investment of buying the Blues? I said as soon as the Blues hoisted that cup, the Blues doubled.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah, doubled in value.
You know, there's an old adage that in hockey, you break even during the season, and whatever you can get and earn through the playoffs is your profit every year, which is why it's so important to make the playoffs. Now, I don't know exactly how true that is, but it's been around. That's been the saying around for a long time, and I've never heard anybody dispute it. I just haven't seen the actual numbers. So that being the case, this is probably, I would say it's easily the most profitable season the Blues have ever had. And then the value, I mean, I'm telling you, you have 50,000 minimum more Blues fans today than you had on April 6th.
In this
area.
That's me. I mean, and I'm not just excited about the Blues because they've won the championship and I want to see Blues games. I'm excited about watching hockey, period, next year. I know the games aren't going to be exciting, the playoffs and everything. That's the excitement. But I'm a hockey fan now. It was exciting. I enjoyed these playoffs immensely. So when we come back, Tony's going to stick with us with our last segment. Skip's going to hang with us, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on at Weber Chevrolet when we come back. You're listening to the Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1.
If you lose me,
My apologies to Skip Weber to my left. That is the official Skip Weber theme song.
Yes.
And we forgot to play it. It's got that kind of Jamaican beat there. Still on the phone with us is Tony Colombo.
Hey, Brian, it says Skip theme next to the freaking song in the computer.
That's it. I'm hanging up on him.
Look at him. He's still the host from out in the middle of nowhere. He's hosting.
What I heard was if you screw up on the show, you get promoted. So
there it is.
Yeah, you know what? That's a great point. That's a Ryan
but
Wiggins
there's ways to screw
methodology,
up.
That's for sure.
There's ways to screw up.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Wiggins screwed up in a way that helped the sponsor of the show.
That's a good point. Wow. That's a good point.
And joining me, my lovely wife, Becky Arps, is co-hosting with me today as well.
Yeah, you got it right.
Yes. So I want to talk about anybody that knows me knows that there are three things that I absolutely detest in life. One is washing clothes, the other is washing dishes, and the other one is taking the car in for service.
Where's grocery shopping go?
Well, that's down the line. But those are, I'd rather have root canals than do any of those things. But
you would rather have a root canal than wash dishes.
I would. I am not joking.
What a snob.
I am not joking. But I just want to tell folks that we had to take our Weber Chevrolet Camaro in to get some oil change and some work. And I tell you, it was just an incredible experience. Mike McMillan, who I had, He told me he's been there ever since your grandfather. He's an old timer. Treated me just excellent, and I'll admit I did kind of tell him who I work with, Skip, so I could get a little off. But he was so nice. But when I went into the break room, the waiting room, I saw Aunt B in there. I said, "Hey, Aunt B," and she looked at me like, "Do I know you? Know you?" But there were donuts there. There were cookies there. I went into the showroom to kind of look at some cars. Everyone is just so nice and polite, or opening doors for you, and sir. And they didn't know who I was, that I knew Skip through 97.1. It's just what I've noticed is there's a culture at Weber Chevrolet where everyone is so nice and polite. You guys are like the Chick-fil-A of dealerships when it comes to just service. It's incredible.
Yeah, and we're also closed on Sunday like them, so that fits.
Yeah, right.
So we have always had a culture, and I didn't invent this. I was taught this by my father, who was taught it by his father, and that is that you treat your customers come first, your employees come second, then the profit and bottom line, and that is we're very religious with that way. Absolutely. If there's a dispute with the customer and he's with the employee, then we have to listen to the customer first, and we take our employees' thoughts, you know, to heart, but we have to, you know, the customer, quote unquote, is always right. But in a case, we have to take care of the customer first. But right behind that, we make sure every employee is happy to live there, work there. It's, you know, we are proud of the fact that we help people put kids through, you know, college or private schools or whatever. We have, you know, whatever it is it takes to help them raise their family. Mm-hmm. We have many, many second and third generation employees. Mm-hmm. We have thousands of third and fourth generation customers, but we are proud of how many second and third generation employees we have. Yeah. I have people working for me that whose grandparents, one or the other, worked for my grandfather.
Mike McMillan.
Yeah,
He took great care of us. Yeah, so. And I tell you, when I was in the restroom taking care of my business, I kind of joked with one of your employees. I said, "Man, I've never been in a restroom that smells like Fruit Loops." It did. It was just so fresh. I swear it smelled like Fruit Loops. It was just so fresh.
I'm not sure what to say about that.
I was just saying it was remarkably just a very clean.
I'd love to come back and say, you know, it's another one of our goals is to make sure that Kellogg's cereals are, you know, but no, I don't know what to tell you about that.
It was smelled, just let me tell you, the restroom smelled really good.
But I'd have to say your reputation is actually not just in St. Louis, because when I bought my first car, I lived in Kansas City at the time. Which was why it wasn't a Weber Chevrolet car.
Well, forgive you for that.
Well, I did, you know, other side of the state, but I said to them, "I'm moving to St. Louis," and they said, "Oh, go to Weber Chevrolet."
Well, that's great.
So it's not just in the St. Louis area; it does go to across the state.
You know, it's funny because we have a reputation for being, and this is something that's kind of maybe a little bit inside. I don't want to get anybody in trouble, so I won't name names. But there are several places in town. When a car can't be fixed, their employees send them to us to fix it, just because of the talent and the depth. And that's what happens when you have 30- and 40-year-old employees. I just attended the retirement of a 31-year-old employee. He worked for us for 31 years, never missed a day of work in our body shop. And we're going to miss him. It's so hard. But I love that people retire from us. They don't quit and go somewhere else for their last 5 years or whatever, that kind of thing.
And that truly speaks to the leadership of Weber Chevrolet all the way down, because people don't leave companies, they leave leaders. Yeah. So to have all the way down to the front line leaders that people don't want to call in sick to.
Yeah. Right. I tease my other stores about not having enough 30-year employees, but they've only been around for 28 and 26 years, respectively. So that's why they don't have any 30-year-old employees yet. So.
And I don't want to embarrass you, Skip, but the employees, they're there, had nothing but glowing things to say about you, say about your family. But you know it was sincere. They said they don't come in being pretentious, and we're the Webbers, take care of us, we're first in line. And I think, like I said, that culture, those values comes down into the employees. And like I said, you guys are literally like the Chick-fil-A of customer service when it comes to just friendliness. Speaking of cars, what's going on down at Weber Chevrolet this week?
You know, I think this is the second or third week in a row when I'm going to have said this, but I just want to keep emphasizing how I have dictated to my managers that I want this to be our number one Equinox selling month ever. Mm-hmm. Equinox has been out, I want to say, since about 2012 or so, somewhere in that range, maybe a little bit earlier mm-hmm. than that. And we've sold a ton of them, but it's such a great vehicle. It's such a leader in its class, the midsize crossover. And with the both Chevy, Ford, and some other brands getting rid of passenger cars and migrating towards crossovers, this is our opportunity to really, you know, dominate that mm-hmm. market with what I think is the finest car, the finest crossover out there, period.
And the commercial?
Commercial department's doing great. Good. I mean, we're selling Chevys and Fords now commercially. Okay. And last month was a record month for them for us.
Excellent.
I mean, they've only been open for 9 months, but the most we've sold, and we are already way past halfway there mm-hmm. For this month. And if you're looking for, if you're a landscaper, if you're a construction guy, if you're a trucking company, whatever, we've got, you know, barge companies that mm-hmm. come in, we got ambulances, whatever type of vehicle you need, electrical, you know, HVAC, okay. air conditioning, we can service you with trucks that are designed to fit exactly what you need, down to what's in the bed or what's in the van and the shelves in it and all that stuff. And you'll see that our prices are great. And then we have the place to also get them serviced,
right.
dedicated to those vehicles only.
So what is going on the greatest rock show on a talk station have on there? The Skip Weber Rock Show.
Yes.
Rock Show.
I had one prepared, and I had a secondary list prepared based on what happened on a certain evening this week. So I've moved to the secondary one, and it's going to be the most music I've ever played okay. and the least amount of talking I've ever done. I'm still going to do a little bit of talking, but we got 10 songs, and they all relate to a certain color in the color spectrum.
Does that kind of – so, you know, the blues winning the Stanley Cup is a happy experience and we're joyful, but blues music is sad in a sense. Is it kind of
– right. No. No, there's lots of good upbeat songs that have the word blues in them.
Oh, good, yeah. Good. So we're about to wrap up. Becky, you have any closing thoughts you want to wrap up before we get out of here?
You know, I moved here when the Rams won the Super Bowl, and the feeling was electric, and I kind of fell in love with this city because of that feeling. And I would say it's just doubled. I mean, to have people sitting in the rain at Busch Stadium to see the Blues win was amazing. So...
Yeah. Yeah,
way to go, Blues!
And I almost forgot. Give the folks what time the radio show.
Oh, 9 o'clock, 9 to 10.
Nine to ten.
And also, I got to start saying this more. I have an email address: SaturdayEveningRockShow at gmail.com. I love playing requests, taking requests, requests not just for individual songs, mm-hmm. but for themes for me to run, or just feedback. If somebody says everything was great except for those two songs, don't ever play that artist again mm-hmm. or the whatever. I get all that feedback, and it comes into the trickle right now. So I'm just trying to get more and more of it, because putting the shows together is not the easiest thing I've ever done.
And if someone sent you a suggestion playing Run DMC, would that be entertained on the Skip Weber Rock Show?
It depends upon the support behind it.
Got it.
So we can start setting our dinner music.
Exactly.
We can email Skip what we want to hear.
I mean, I do Walk This Way. Maybe it's got
That's got some rock. That's Skip Weber, Weber Chevrolet. And we had a good show today. It went by quicker than I thought I would. Brian,
that was fun.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Becky, thank you, sir.
Ma'am? Always my pleasure.
I'm sorry.
Dog
Skip, Skip Weber's with
so
us.
Good.
And I think Tony dropped off from on top of the hill.
Yeah.
But thank you for tuning in this
Tony's
week.
Tony's in a good unplugged state. Let's leave him unplugged for a little bit longer.
You've been listening to The Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.